Good morning. It's been a while. Today is August 9th, 2026. And I thought we might talk a little bit about grace. What is grace? How do you get it? You already have grace. An infinite number of grace, or rather, an infinite amount of grace, and it is within you. You already have it. But how do you experience grace? Well, we know that silence is a key. And silence is not just being quiet. Silence is an absence of self, an absence of the false sense of self. I have a sense of self that's 72 years old and 5'8" and so many pounds. I'm not going to tell you how many. So many pounds and so much experience and so much education and blah, blah, blah. That's the human. And the human is not real. Oh, yes, it has existence. It has existence in the mind. That's the only place where the human lives, is in the mind. But grace, beautiful, wonderful grace. Thy grace is my sufficiency. My grace is thy sufficiency. How do you experience it? What makes it come forth? Well, you can't grab it and force it to manifest. You can't wrestle it into existence. You must experience a stone cut out of the mountain. Without hands, a temple made without hands. All of this points to the fact that you can't force grace to manifest. You can't grapple with it, wrestle with it, and make it come forth out of the invisible. However, comma, you can be still and experience grace. Grace flows all by itself without any help from you. Grace. What is grace, anyway? It's a free gift, right? Without merit, or without earning, without struggle, without striving. It's grace. Grace flows when you take no thought. Within your consciousness is your true identity. The I of you. The I of me. That I is the storehouse of grace. And it flows forth when you take no thought. When you stop struggling, stop striving, stop seeking. As Joel says, you learn to walk without seeking. And then grace happens. Oh my God, what a beautiful day. Everything was in synchronicity. I was in the right place at the right time. All the right words were spoken. The right people were there. You see, grace happens. When you step out of the way, and there's no personal sense operating, then you have created an opening through which grace flows. Grace is omnipresent, but you create the opening through which it flows into form. It's really quite fantastic when you look at it. And it all takes place within you. You have a mind, and in that mind are many concepts which form your human self, which forms the appearance of a human self. Because remember, Joel told me, you haven't got one. I asked him, how can I come up higher as a person? How can I come up higher? And he said to me, you haven't got one. You don't have a person. Really look at that. Take that down deep within. Wait a minute. I don't have a person. There's no person here. If there's no person here, if I am invisible, spirit, then I am not on earth. I'm invisible. I'm eternal. I'm immortal. But I am not on earth. Here's an entry in my journal for 2008. You cannot get Christhood. You have to receive it. Yes, and you receive it by grace. By grace. Not by works, by grace. First time I ever experienced grace, it was a period in my life where I had messed everything up and I didn't know what to do, so I walked around saying within myself, thy grace is my sufficiency. I must have said it 300 times a day. It didn't mean anything, it was only words. But it did cause me to pause. It caused me to be still for a moment. And in that moment, there was an invisible hand, an invisible spiritual hand that came right into my life and move things around, put things in order, made the crooked places straight, went before me to prepare a place, And I looked, and wow, grace is my sufficiency in all things. And there's a sufficiency of grace ever present. So, I began to see there really is something called grace. And it really does manifest as I create this opening through which it can flow. And how do I create this opening? I get myself, my false self, my thinking self, my planning self, my scheming self, I get that self out of the way. I surrender. I surrender that false sense of self. And in the surrender, I create an opening. An invisible grace flows forth. It knows where to go. It knows what to do. It knows. And so grace lives my life. I live, yet not I. Grace liveth my life. Grace. Grace is a free gift from God. It contains within it omniscience. So it knows where to flow. It knows who to flow to. It knows. And it's wonderful. When you live by grace, it's harmonious. It's beautiful. It's love. Thy grace is love upon my affairs. Awareness of is, awareness of grace, dissolves the appearance, and harmony is revealed. The bread you cast on the waters is not what you do out here. The bread you cast on the waters is your inner spiritual discernment of a principle. That inner spiritual discernment is cast forth into your consciousness, and then it manifests. The Word is made flesh. Truth entertained in consciousness becomes the substance of body, business, home, and life. But truth entertained in consciousness is not a statement of truth in the mind. And not a thought about truth. No, if it's a thought, it's in the mind. And the mind can't manifest grace. Only consciousness can. And so truth entertained in consciousness happens when all thought about truth comes to an end. You see, when all thought about truth stops, there's an opening there. There's an opening in that stop. And all thought comes to an end. Now, into that silence, grace, truth, announces itself. I am the truth. See, it's all grace. It has nothing to do with your efforts. Communion with the Word manifests as invisible flesh and then appears as form. See, first it manifests in consciousness as invisible flesh. Then it manifests in mind as form. Consciousness forms itself. The Word is made flesh and dwells among us. Grace, grace, grace. It's not about working on a situation. It's about Christ being introduced into the situation. This you bear witness to. That's wonderful. Gosh. First, the presence is felt in consciousness, then it appears as form in the mind. That's great. All right. Grace. Grace has set my table. How many times do we say that before we sit down to eat, or after we sit down before we eat? Sometimes we only think it. Grace has set my table. You see, we're moving. There's an inner transformation taking place amongst the Infinite Way students that I know. And that transformation is moving away from thoughts and mind, moving to the invisible, grace. So, grace happens to you when you let it, and you let it when you create that opening, and it flows. It just flows. It's really quite remarkable. It's wonderful. Behold, what manner of love the Father has, what manner of grace, that you should be called the Son of God. All right. Grace. Have you ever worked on something? I used to work in a factory, and I found out that if I worked really hard on something, like trying to solder two components together, the harder I worked, the worse it got. But when I finally had a moment's meditation, I went back to my work desk, and it just flowed right together. I couldn't believe how easy it was. It just flowed. Well, that's the way this is. You work really hard at running your life and trying to get all the ducks in a row and trying to create a future which has a future in which you are taken care of because you've saved money ahead of time, put it in savings. But there's another way to live. And that way is to just remember that it is the Father's good pleasure to give you grace. Because the kingdom is grace. Grace is the kingdom. And since it's your Father's good pleasure to give you grace, then all you have to do really is say thank you. Thank you, Father. Thy grace is my sufficiency. And then rest. Rest back, pray, meditate, whatever word you want to give it. Create an opening. Be gentle within yourself. Thy grace is my sufficiency in all things. Thank you, Father, for thy grace. And behold, I come quickly. So I've seen grace operate in the factory. I've seen grace operate in my home. I've seen grace operate on the road. I've seen grace operate in the store. I've seen grace operate everywhere. When I stop seeking, I stop pushing. You know when it's grace because the door opens almost by itself. And you know when it's mind because you're pushing and pushing and struggling and the door won't open. So live by grace, and the doors will open almost by themselves. You know, it's true with everything. If you have a pet, you already know that when you try to force something, the dog or the cat or the goat won't go along with it. But when you let it come together, it's a thing of beauty. The dog gets fed, the cat gets manicured, the goat gets milked, everything flows together. So I don't know how to describe this, really. I can say it like this. Maybe you'll get this. When you take off in the morning for your work or your shopping or whatever you're doing, when you are in charge, it's kind of a bumpy road. You keep hitting red lights, people pull out in front of you. Not so good. But when you take a few moments to create this opening, be still and know, I am here. I have come that you might have life, and life abundantly, life harmoniously. Then you go about your business. It's something to behold. You just about hit every green light on your way. You get there and there's a parking space right up front. You go inside and that which you were hoping to purchase is on sale. You had no way of knowing. Well, you didn't know, but now you do. The person in front of you says, go ahead, you only have a few things. It's something to live by grace, to live by harmony. If you live by mind, you've got the opposites, good and evil, which make up the mind. Pairs of opposites. If you live by grace, you live by harmony. You live by only harmony. Grace, truth, life, love, harmony. And what a joy it is to live that way, to live in that consciousness, to live in that conscious awareness. Here's an entry in my journal. Bring the Sabbath consciousness wherever you are, and grace liveth your life. The illumined, those who walk in the Sabbath, the illumined walk without fear, by grace. Grace. Again and again and again. If God is not in the human scene, then neither am I. We must discover a world untouched by mortal thought, a world by grace. All right. Here is a good explanation for grace. Grace is the love of God shown to the unlovely, the peace of God given to the restless, the unmerited favor of God. Yes, and when you experience it, how wonderful it is. I had a time in my life where I had completely destroyed anything worth having. I mean, relationships, job, all those things. And it occurred to me one day that I needed to go look for work. So I put on my best jeans, I guess, and went down to Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena, California, and started stopping in every single place to fill out an application. I wanted to see what God had in mind. Well, one of the ladies that owned a Denny's invited me in and gave me a cup of coffee. And it wasn't until I left that I realized that cup of coffee was grace. It was the first gift of grace that I ever received, well, that I knew about, consciously. One cup of coffee was just so beautiful. I can't tell you what it meant when I realized that was grace. If it would have been up to me, I would have passed that place. I think it was a bank, now come to think of it. And I knew that I didn't have any experience in the banking. So my mind, that thing which tries to create an existence, said to me, Oh, you don't want to go in there. You don't have any experience. But I saw. I was watching. And I saw that the mind was trying to exert itself. So I said, uh-uh. Oh, no, you don't. And I went into the bank. And in the bank, the lady there gave me a cup of coffee. And I remember because it was Grace. Grace gave me that cup of coffee. And I knew it. I just knew it. Well, I continued down the road, and when I got to Denny's, the manager in there also gave me a cup of coffee. So, the first grace that I ever consciously realized was cups of coffee, which I happened to like and I happened to need at that moment. Grace of God came as coffee to me. Now, later, it appeared this way. You see, I have to show you, mind thinks one thing. Grace operates completely independent. I went to a meeting at a church, and afterwards, I went over to the bus stop to wait for the bus to take me home, because it was a couple of miles away. Well, as I sat there, there was a fellow there. He said, "Didn't I see you up in the church?" I said, "Yes, you did." So I introduced myself, and he said, "I'm John." And we shook hands. He said, "Are you working?" I said, "No. No, I'm looking for work. I've been filling out applications." He said, "Why don't you come up where I work, to a company called Kennedy Company. We make digital magnetic tape drives, and we're always looking for people." I said, "Okay," because it seemed to me that that was grace, him telling me to come up and apply. So the next day, doing what God put in front of me to do, I took the bus up to Kennedy Company, and I filled out an application. The plant manager said, "Tell me about yourself." And I said, "Well, I've messed up everything I've ever got involved in, but I'm trying to do better." And he said, "I think you are. Can you start on Monday?" Now, that's how grace works. But the mind, which is not grace, told me I need to go up and down the street and fill out 102 applications. But grace said, "Come on in. The water's fine." And so I did. I started on Monday. I ended up working there for 3 years. I loved it. John became my lead man, my supervisor. There was free donuts and coffee. Hey, you know I like coffee. So I had coffee and donuts every day I went to work. Back then, I didn't have to worry about putting on weight or sugar or any of that stuff. I just ate it. I just drank it. And life was good. The life that grace put together, not the life my mind would have put together, but the life that grace put together by, quote, accidentally, unquote, meeting John on the bus bench. It's really quite wonderful when you live by grace, and it operates in ways that you never thought of, couldn't have planned, and are surprised and excited to see unfold. Now, I've experienced grace before I knew it was grace. I guess I already had it in my consciousness. When I was about 16 or 17, I decided I would go to Canada. I had some friends up there and I wanted to see what it was like. So I bought a ticket and I flew from Los Angeles to Vancouver. Got off, got on a bus that was going up toward Seashell, which is where my friend was. And on the bus there was a girl. Now, I was never much to look at. I think in the 10th grade I was 4'11". And had a haircut like Opie from Andy Griffith's show. And she said, "Where are you going?" And I told her. Anyway, when the bus got there and we got off the bus, she walked me over to where the local buses were and helped me find the one I needed. That's grace. I didn't ask. I didn't plan it out. She was just there. So I took the local bus up to the bay, and there was nothing around and no one around. I found a tractor and I went to sleep in the tractor. The next morning, there was a boat there and an older couple, and the woman invited me on board, so I went on board and she made me breakfast. I think her husband was a little leery, but she wasn't. She gave me breakfast. I ate it. I was grateful. Asked for a cigarette, which the guy gave me. Anyway, grace was already operating in my life, and I didn't even know the word. But it was happening. The girl that showed me which way to go, the older couple that gave me breakfast. When the water taxi got there, the man said, where do you want to go? I said, up to Storm Bay. Well, he said, I said, how much is it? He said, how much have you got? I said, I've only got $2.50 left. He said, that's exactly what it cost. So I gave him the $2.50, and he took me the rest of the way to Storm Bay where my friends were, and I met with them, and we had a good visit. So you see, grace was already operating in and around me in my life. So it must have been in my consciousness already, or I couldn't have been aware of it. Consciousness, what a wonderful thing. We're born with a certain consciousness and then we add to it. What do you have in your consciousness? Obviously, I had grace. but I didn't know it. I only knew that these nice things were happening. Now I know it. I know that grace is in my consciousness. Well, what does that have to do with our lives today? If you want grace in your experience, you have to have it in your consciousness. How do you get it in your consciousness? You meditate. You contemplate. Grace, thy grace is my sufficiency in all things. Thy grace is my sufficiency. Thy grace. Now, grace is a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't struggle to be worthy, to deserve. It's free. Free. No price tag. What a wonderful thing God is. What a wonderful thing God's grace is. What a wonderful thing to receive God's grace. As many as received grace, to them gives he power to become the sons of God. What does that mean? To them gives he power. That means you're given the awareness that grace is within you, that you've always had it, and that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you grace. Father's good pleasure. So, grace has set my table, yes. Grace has assembled my life. Grace has put together this life I am living. Not by might, nor by power, but by my grace. And two shall be standing in a field, one shall remain. The two standing in the field is good and evil. The mind formed. It's not grace, it's the mind formed. One shall remain. When that one is surrendered, when that mind formed is surrendered, an opening is created, and one shall remain. Grace shall remain. We live by mind, or we live by grace. A temple not made by mind. Which master do you follow? Mind or grace? Two shall be standing, one shall remain. That one is grace. Thank you for listening to this talk today. We're not done yet, but I wanted to thank you before I forgot. We live by grace. grace, a free gift, invisible, yet present. I haven't always been a nice person. In the past, I was pretty miserable with myself, and so I made life miserable for those about me. Yet, grace continued to function. So grace must not be something to do with what I earn or what I'm worthy of. Because in spite of that, grace functioned. When I met my wife, it was entirely grace. We were married for 33 years until she passed away, or moved on, or however you want to say it. And I met her by grace. And here's how that happened. I was with a different lady. She wasn't my wife. We had divorced. And she, I guess, got tired of me and said, "You can pick your things up on Saturday." And this was Friday afternoon, and I didn't have anywhere to go. I did have a paycheck. So I called a friend of mine, and I said, "You know any place that is renting that I can rent?" And he said, "Why don't you come over and talk to this lady who I rent from?" And I said, "Okay." And I went over there, and I asked her how much it was, and she told me, and I gave her a month's rent. Before I gave it to her, I got quiet for a second. You know, I always like to be quiet in case there's a nudge to go in a different direction. Well, I got quiet, and it seemed right to do, so I gave her the money for a month. And she was surprised. And she gave me the apartment, and I moved in. But that was something totally unplanned. My mind wanted to find something and put something together, but grace operated instead. And this lady, who I was renting from, I eventually spent a lot of time with, and we got married. Actually, it was kind of peculiar because we only knew each other for 4 weeks. When I asked her to marry me, the surprising thing was she said yes. And so I married her. And 33 years later, we were still married. That's grace. That's how you can tell it's grace. Because you didn't put it together. You're not holding it together. You're not trying to make it work. It's falling together by itself. The door opens all by itself. And that's what happened. Now, this happens with the job, it happens with relationships, it happens with opportunities, it happens with money. You either are pushing, trying to make something happen, which is always wrong, or you're following the clues as they unfold, which is grace, which is always right. Well, now here's a nice entry in the journal. Attain the silence and grace I will function. Obtain the silence and I will function. I've seen this operate with weather. You get into your car, you turn on the windshield wipers because it's raining rather hard. You sit there in silence. You trust the Father within, and grace happens, and it eases up. Now it's just a little drizzle. And if you have groceries, you can take them into the house without getting all wet. Grace. Grace. What is grace, really? Really, it's God, isn't it? It's God's grace, so it's God. Functioning. Attain the silence, and I, God, God's grace, will function. Remember, though, silence is not you being quiet. That may start. That may be a start, but silence is no personal self there. When there's no personal self there, there's only one thing that can function. Grace. I saw grace function at the local police station in Pasadena, California, when I lived out there. There were some papers that needed to be served, and we sort of stood around as everybody said, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. So there was nothing left to do but to be still. And finally, one of the sheriffs, a lady, said, I'm going right by there. I'll drop them off on my way home. Thank you. Another example of grace where you don't push, you don't try to make happen, you watch as it unfolds, you bear witness, you behold grace unfolding. And it's a wonderful thing to watch. Always, you know, it's not made by hands. Not made by thinking, not made by mind. No, it's grace. And grace operates, grace functions, grace improves, grace gives, grace loves. Grace. I experienced this grace when I was in college. I had a test, and I was a little nervous about it. It was pretty complicated. I wasn't sure I could do well. But then I remembered grace. So I got quiet. I tried to create an opening through which grace could flow. Once I did that, when I looked at the test, it all made perfect sense. I understood it. I could do it. I could answer. I could write a little essay at the bottom. I even did a little extra credit, and my teacher agreed he'd give me extra credit for what I did. So, grace, grace, grace. You need to make grace your companion. Grace is the comforter. Grace is your companion. Grace is your friend. And it's really true. I live, yet not I. Grace lives my life. As often as you can, come within here, settle down, rest, and that's how you create an opening through which grace can flow. And when it flows, everything else flows too. It just flows together. In a way ye know not of. No, the mind can't get a hold of this. It can't grip this and grab this and make it function. No, the mind can't get a hold of this. Grace is invisible. How do you get a hold of the infinite invisible? You don't. At best, you can watch it function. You watch it function. Grace. Well, thank you. I didn't know if I could say enough to last an hour, but we're just about there. By grace. Thank you for drawing this out. It's an important subject. Grace. And how to allow grace to live your life. I hope you've enjoyed this talk today, but more than that, I hope you put the principles into practice. Create an opening. Behold, I come quickly, and bear witness to grace living your life. I guarantee when you do, you will be living in heaven on earth, right here and right now. Grace.